And the title of this message is Being Rooted and Grounded in Love. Ephesians 3, 16 through 19. As most of you know, Ephesians is my most favorite book of the Bible. Most of the time I reference out of that because it talks about how to build us individually and collectively as the Church of Jesus Christ. There's tremendous revelation in how we're supposed to walk in Christ. So if you're all there, I'll start and we'll read. Paul speaking, he says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you, being filled with the measure of all the fullness of God. This year is going to be a year that is really going to test our love one for another. It's going to, we're already seeing some of the redemptive processes that God's doing just out of Jessica's relationship where she's being used by God to restore some stuff. And even in a lot of our own personal, interpersonal relationships with those who are rubbing us the wrong way, we are being convicted by the Holy Spirit to love. Not a love that's conditional, but a love of God. A love that is only divine in nature and a love that surpasses all knowledge. And so Paul here is speaking to us that we need to learn how to harness this love. And so God is going to begin to take us on this adventure. And this adventure is going to be like an amusement park ride. We're going to have ups and downs, and a lot of us like roller coasters, right? I love them because I like to scream at people, telling them what kind of sissies they are when they do scream. That is true. I get more fun out of listening to them scream like little girls than actually enjoying a ride. But that's just me, and that just shows you how demented I am, and you need to pray for me. You really do. But in the truth of all things, though, God is going to take us on this adventure this year together. And in this adventure, we have to understand that he's already punched a ticket. We can enter into this thing at any time. And this ticket was purchased by the blood of the Lamb. Okay? And so, by faith, we can now go and get our seat and sit down in this seat. And a lot of us already have picked our seats. We want to sit as close to Jesus as we want, right? I want to sit on his lap. I don't want to get close to him. I want to sit with him. Okay, so I don't know about you, but my ticket's punched to sit in a seat right next to Jesus. And if he screams like a little girl, pray for me that I'll kind of chastise him a little bit. But he doesn't scream. He doesn't famish about anything. He's excited about what he's about to do. And we should be excited to participate in this. Now, by faith, we have our seat and we have our tickets punched, but there's an important ingredient that we must also pay attention to. We have a safety harness that we need to keep our seats. And that safety harness is God's unconditional love. And so we need to have that strapped in so that we don't fall or lose our position. Amen? So if we can settle in that, and today I want to give us some basic tools to understand how this process works in our lives so that we can understand that we can stop blaming the devil for everything. And start saying that God's doing this. Because that's who's doing it. We've got to be so God conscious that we stop thinking that the devil's into everything. He is. But his end is he's going to be terminally eliminated in the end. But God even uses the wicked to bring into a day of destruction. Amen? So what we have to do is first understand that this kind of love, this unconditional love, is not understood by doctrine. All doctrine is what the Bible says. The teachings of what the Bible says. We can't comprehend it. It is beyond our comprehension to understand how this love works. We know it's in us because God dwells in us, right? So what we need to learn is how to release it. Okay? You've heard me say, well, we've got to be plugged into the Lord in order to release power. Well, if you're born again, filled with the Spirit, you're plugged in. Now you need to learn how to release this power with the saints, not by ourselves, with the saints, so that we can be constantly filled up in this love. Amen? We have to understand that without this love, if I understand doctrine, and if I understand how to move mountains, and I have the faith that can prophesy all things, and I can believe God for deep things and all, and have every spiritual gift, it doesn't mount to a hill of beans if I don't love. 1 Corinthians 13. It doesn't matter. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 8 that there's faith, hope, and love, but love is the greatest of these three. And of these three, they're all eternal. So if we're able to become successful in releasing, not fighting God, we will be able to begin to comprehend together what this love is about and how to release it more and more and more. So thereby, we don't have to worry about our situation or our circumstances, because God's taking control of that. We don't have to pray about God, I need this, and God, I need that. All we need to do is, God, what do you want me to do to love this person as you love them? Amen? That's going to be hard to do. For me, I have tudes. I have attitudes. But God has adjusted that I can love you guys because I can love myself. But I can love myself because I know God loves me. And so if I can love me, I can love you. And I do love you guys. And I can love you with the love of God. Unconditional love isn't silent or forgiving when wrongs come. It doesn't just say, oh, okay, they wronged me, so that's okay, I forgive them. That's not the kind of love that God is talking to us about. That's carnal love. Because what happens is we become resentful and bitter when we don't speak these things. When we don't confront these wrong behaviors. Unconditional love compels us to go and confront these issues of bad behavior or misunderstandings. Unconditional love eliminates and builds bridges across those differences and personalities and idiosyncrasies that would divide us. Unconditional love is a love that surpasses anything we could ever ask or imagine. And the only way that we can experience this is by releasing it. How do we release it? I'm glad you guys are paying attention. There are four basic things that Paul wants us to understand in this message that he's sharing with us. And I have to say that if we are staged to go through this whole life, this whole existence of our life, and we do not love with God's love, our life is worthless. Okay? You understand that? If I can't build and love people through relationships, the love that I have is carnal and sensual, and it is worthless. It's the truth. Why can I say that? Because today the world operates like that. It could care less about relationships. It uses people for its own means and then discards them after destroying them. It's hooray for me and heck with you. I'm walking up the corporate ladder and I'm going to put my spikes into your back as I climb over you. And what we need to do is understand that is not love. To live this way is to live a life empty and wanting. It is a life that is never satisfied. It's always looking for something to fit into that void of our hearts, but it never brings satisfaction. And what we miss is the important things of our lives is the relationships. And I can tell you this, that when I got saved at the age of 30, my son was 8 years old, and I repented to him for being such a terrible father. And he come over and he grabbed a hold of me and said, I forgive you, Dad, I love you. I almost lost that relationship because my life was almost in the divorce court. Not because I wanted to be right, which I did, but because God changed my heart about looking at things. I was a sports nut. I played sports. I was involved in all kinds of things. Drugs. I not only was involved in drugs, I sold them and grew them and did all that stuff. People say something about me, that was no problem. I got up in your face and I beat you to a pulp. I mean, I was a nasty person, never realizing that those relationships that I had were terminal. They were going to kill me, and they were killing me, and they were killing my relationship to my wife and to my children. But because of God loving me in spite of myself, He saved me. We have to understand that God is ever trying to impart His love, and part of His love is to convict us of the things we know we should be doing. Right? When we wrong someone or feel that we have wronged someone, we need to confront them in love. Someone has wronged us, we need to confront them in love, because their behavior is not acceptable according to the eternal love that God has. God's love is pure and holy. There is nothing about His love that separates us except ourselves. There's no spot or blemish in His love. So let's see what Paul says. He says, first of all, we must be strengthened in the inner man. What is the inner man? That's our spirit. That's who we are. That's the true person of who we are in Jesus Christ. Before, we didn't know who God was. But today we know who God is. And He dwells in our spirit. He strengthens us. And it is by His presence that His Spirit leads us to do the right thing. We're incapable of knowing how to do the right thing. But we need His Spirit's power in order to do this. And this is what Jesus said in Acts 1:8. Wait until you receive power. Wait until you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Wait until you have the fullness that God wants for you in order to begin this journey. You've got to be strengthened. And in those times, what happens is temptation comes. And if you are not baptized in the Spirit, you are susceptible to fall. And when you are susceptible to failure, Satan is immediately right there to beat your brains in and tell you what kind of rotten Christian you are, how lousy you are. You know, your life stinks a whole nine yards. But if you're filled with the love of God, the Holy Spirit says, you know what, Gar? You messed up. Repent. Get it under the blood. Let's work on this area together. Let's do this thing. When you begin to mature, you begin to start seeing the carnality of other people in such a way that you realize that that is no longer acceptable behavior for me. They have to come to the revelation of understanding that that behavior is not acceptable in the kingdom of God. And that comes through teaching. It comes through demonstration of a more mature believer's life. But that doesn't mean that that person has to copy that person. It means that we do the things that the Spirit of God says through His divine love. So we have to be strengthened in this. We have to have the power of the Holy Spirit working actively in our lives and allowing Him to work in our lives. I sometimes wonder, if God had taken the Holy Spirit out of the world, would Christians still do what they're doing? And would anybody notice that the Holy Spirit was gone? Something to think about. If you're still doing the same stuff you did a month, a year ago, 2 years ago, I wonder if the Holy Spirit is just tired of telling you that you need to get rid of this stuff. Only you can answer that. I'm not judging you. I'm just saying that, you know, God wants to grow us up. There is a greater purpose than just getting saved. That greater purpose is to go and get other people saved. Bring them into the family. Two, Christ has to dwell within us. This word dwell is a word that says to come and make Himself comfortable. When you guys come to this house, you are comfortable when you come here, right? Almost to the point that you guys don't want to leave. And that's what this is, Paul's talking about. Christ has to dwell in us. He wants to come and dwell in your spirit that he is so comfortable in your skin that you're allowing him to rearrange the furniture. You're allowing him to set different paint on the walls. You're allowing him to get rid of the trimmings and the draperies and stuff. You're allowing foo to come in to your heart. Yes, foo for you. Not foo on you, but foo for you. God through the Holy Spirit changes our whole atmosphere. Why is he changing everything inside of us? I'm glad you asked that, Ed. You are an astute student here. He's changing because he wants to create an atmosphere of peace in you. A peace that passes all understanding. What does that look like? That looks like when your life is in such turmoil, when everything seems to be turning to manure in your life, you're not upset about it. You're not worried about it. Why? Because you know God is in control. You know eventually that something's going to work out, that he's going to direct you to show you how to do something, and you need to do it. Or you will continue to be in this troubling waters situation in your life. The reason why he does this is so that you eventually will be able to minister to those who find themselves in the same situation. Really, what he wants to do is begin to have you exercise your will to submit it to the Holy Spirit's leading so that things that you're planning for your life, as you submit that to God, God can begin to work those details out for you, not you working them out. All he's asking you to do is do what he's asked you to do. That is to go and share the good news of Jesus Christ. He teaches us how to rightly relate. The Holy Spirit teaches us how to rightly relate one with another in love. He teaches us what this difference is from our carnal love to a divine love. To love people unconditionally will require us to die. People don't love us because of who we are. People love us because of the stuff we can provide. At least that's how it was with my friends. Before I knew Jesus Christ, my friends knew I could supply all the best weed and dope and all the other stuff to them. They hung with me. When I got saved, one of my friends said to me, "Gary, I don't like the way you are." And I said to him, "Lee, for the first time in my life, I like who I am. And I'm not apologizing for it." And that's the truth. And I watched my so-called friends leave. I've lost a lot of friends, so-called friends. But now understanding that having Christ dwell in us, we must have two things. We must have a death of our relationship with Jesus Christ through faith, which means being rooted. The idea carries the idea of a plant whose root system grows out and grabs the nutrients and the security from being blown over as the storms come in. God is our source. We must be rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ. He is our source for everything. He will provide our nourishment through reading of the Word, through rightly relating with one another. And he will keep us secure as we continue to allow him to build our lives, as we continue to allow him to direct us to where we're going. In the meantime, this divine love is building within us. We then begin to start looking at people from a standpoint, from a guy standpoint of, "Whew, check her out," to, "How can I help her? How can I serve her? How can I," and vice versa. It goes beyond our carnality to a point of divinity, and we're beginning to love people where they are, but we don't love people to remain where they are. Amen? The second is being grounded. Grounded is an architectural term for foundation. And one of the things that I'm real strict about is you need to have a Christian foundation laid. I don't care how long you've been in Christ. I don't care where you come from. We have a system in which we build Christian foundations. into people's lives. You need to know what Christ did. You need to know why he did it. You need to know what you believe and why you believe it so that you can articulate your faith to other people. I love God because he saved me. What's that mean to somebody who doesn't know Jesus Christ? You need to be able to take the Christianese words and bring it to their vernacular so that they can understand what you're talking about. And that's what Jesus did. He didn't use high-profile words as the Pharisees did. He did everything that confounded them. He tore down their religiosity. He told them that you know what, be careful of the religious activities that go on. He loved people. He loved them for who they were, and he told them the truth. He told them the truth. Once you're grounded and you understand this, and I encourage you to read Matthew 24, or Matthew 7, verses 24 through 29 about the foolish builder and the wise builder. Tell me how your relationship is in that. Because the wise builder built it on stone and rock, right? And the foolish one built it on sand. And when the storms of life came, whose house stood? The wise builder who built it on a rock. When we're able to understand these two areas, we are able to proceed to the next area. And that is comprehend with all the saints how great God's love is. When we come together, it's like having this family reunion every Sunday. I am so happy to see everybody. And when someone's not here, I truly miss them. So that when I say, I missed you, this is not some religious thing. I truly miss you. I don't care anything else. I'm more interested in you, in you, in you. What's going on in your life? How can I help you? What is it that's going on? You know, that's what family does. That's what the family of God is all about. And we need to understand that if we keep our lives cloistered and hidden away from the rest of the body of Christ, you're the one that's suffering. You're the one that's in need. And I'm trying to figure out, God, how can I reach this one? How can I help this one? How can I love this person for who they are? Not what they can provide. Because if God's got your heart, he's got everything. And because we don't give our heart freely, we contain and hold back from God. And we're the ones that suffer for it. Now, there's four things that Paul says that for us, the saints need to learn to comprehend. The width, the length, the height, and the depth of love. It's kind of like a cube type of thing. But let me tell you what Paul was really saying here. He was saying that to understand with all the saints together, the width is the experience of us reaching out to the world. How far are you willing to go to reach the lost with the love of Jesus Christ? How far are you? Well, I got all this stuff going on in my life, and I just really can't do it. I remember being in a fellowship, and I told the pastor 2 years before I went, I said, God has spoken to me to go on a mission trip to Europe. Well, we don't have a missions trip in Europe. I said, you will. 2 years later, I went. I didn't solicit for money. I didn't ask for anything. God stirred on a person's heart to pay for my way to England. If you're doing what God tells you to do, he makes a way for you. You don't have to draw up cards and all this other stuff. If God's in it and your faith is in believing in God, he makes it happen for you. That's how easy it is. And I went to England, and I helped build a local church there. And the experiences I got out of there, casting demons out and watching all this Kung Fu Louie stuff, from a demonic perspective, was so cool that it would have terrorized a normal religious person. But having the power of the Holy Spirit and constraining that person and casting those demons out of that person was set free like never before. And here we can't even get people to come to church in this country because they've forgotten who God is and what he's able to do. They trust government more than they trust God. And that's a sad testimony. We need to know what the length is. which is, he's talking about the longevity of your relationships. Do you have superficial relationships that are just here today and gone tomorrow? Or are you building for the longevity, not only today, but into eternity? You see, that's what Christ is all about. He's about eternity. As we go along in this trip, there's going to be people that are going to have their hands out calling for us to get on this train, this ride that we're going on. Are you willing to reach out and grab a hold of them and bring them on board? Or are we just going, well, sad to be you? No. No. As we build these relationships have to get past the superficial. It has to grow in a way that is here today, on into eternity. What is the height? The height of these relationships should be the celebrations of all the good things of life. Today we're going to have a celebration about our young people graduating onto the next phase. That's exciting. You know, people have forgotten how to celebrate. People have forgotten how to make a big deal out of little victories. How many churches don't even do things to celebrate the changes of persons' lives? A person who gets married, a person who has a child, a person who graduates from high school or college or gets into a business. Yesterday, we gathered together as a family. My son has now become sole proprietor of his own business. We went over and celebrated, popped a cork and celebrated with him. We make a big deal. Because it's God doing this. God's doing this. And that's who we're making a big deal of. Because of God, this is happening. Because of God, that's going on. And we pray and believe God for eternal blessings. How deep is your love? How deep is this love that God is talking about? This love has a depth so deep that it'll reach into the darkness of despair and discouragement, and lift people out of it with hope. And we know people who are suffering in their own agonies, their own pits that they've created, that they shackle themselves to this thing and they allow the enemy to control their lives. How deep is the love of God that when I was a sinner, He died for me? I rolled my car down an embankment. I could have lost my family. I had money, I had drugs, I had a family, I had everything. If I had lost them, I had nothing. And I committed my life to Jesus Christ. January 3rd, 1986. And I haven't. It's not my birthday. Tomorrow. Tomorrow is my born one day. Do we celebrate when we bring one out of darkness? You know, we make a big deal when someone commits their lives to Jesus Christ. Why? Because all heaven is rejoicing. The angels rejoice. They don't have salvation. They don't understand. All they see is that Satan and the fallen angels have been kicked out. They're destined for destruction. And here we rebelled against God, and yet He loves us. That yet while we were sinners, Christ died for us. How great is that love? And finally, when we come to understand these things and we put them all together, we're to be filled with the fullness of God. I've heard the stories, and I've told you the stories about Smith Wigglesworth and others like him that were so filled with the presence of God that he would sit on a park bench and people would walk by and get convicted and say, "What do I need to do to get saved?" He didn't preach a word to them. But he was so full of the presence of God. In the natural, there is a thing called a vacuum. And nature hates a vacuum. You know that? Because it's always trying to fill it with air and water and all kinds of stuff to fill that vacuum. Of course, that vacuum, if you are not protected, will suck life out of you and you will be dead. It will actually destroy life. The divine nature is the same way. The divine nature hates a spiritual vacuum, of which that's what we were before we became born again of the Spirit. And God fills that void with His very presence. He filled it. And He wants to keep filling us. He wants to keep expanding us. He wants us to be so desirous of Him that no matter what goes on, when we lay hands on the sick, they recover. When we prophesy, those things happen. When we put hands on the dead, they're raised up. There's nothing too difficult because the love of God destroys wickedness. It's the love of God that destroys sickness and death. It is the love of God that heals the brokenhearted. It's the love of God that binds up the wounds. It's the Word of God, the love of God, the eternal Spirit of God that pushes all these mountains in our lives down so that we can walk across on level ground. It's the love of God. The eternal love of God that the church should have. The church needs to regain that. To fight for each other. I don't care what that person says to me. I'm going to fight for you. And even if that thing is true, I'm still going to fight for you. Why? Because I love you and I believe that God has something better for you. We need to regain that. We need to regain that awesomeness that you're not here by accident. You're here because there's a greater purpose. And together we can get this thing done because eventually God's going to bring us to our destination. Eventually this ride is going to end. And what we did along the way is going to count. And if we just filled ourselves up and did nothing about reaching out to those who are in need, how much of the love of God do we have? Last year, we committed ourselves to a lot of things. And I had asked Holly, but time is short. I had asked her to talk about when we set a budget last year, it was a lofty budget. It was higher than ever before. And the love of God that has stirred in your hearts and your contributions not only met the budget, surpassed the budget. Now you may say, that's not a big deal. It is when I'm not browbeating the sheep about tithing. I'm letting the love of God touch people's hearts to see that you know, all this stuff is going to win people. Yeah, we're building a ministry. And we're building it the right way through relationships and through the love of God. But I want you to see that there is a committedness that does not go unnoticed. And because of your committedness to believe in what God is doing should only compel us unto greater works. This year we're not going to just talk about what we're going to do. We're going to be active in doing it. We're going to be doers of the word. I didn't get an amen out of that. That's. I said, we're going to be doers of the word this year. Because people need to know about the grace of God and the love of God. They need to be set free from religion. They need to be set free to be who they are and who they've been created to be. I'd say to you right now, right now, within your spirit, just tell God, from today, I'm going to love people. No matter what, I'm going to love them with your love, Lord. No matter what comes my way, no matter what happens, I'm going to love them. And watch what God does. Opportunities that we were blinded to before, we will be able to see. Opportunities to share how good God is. Opportunities to share our testimony with people as to what God did and where He brought us from and where we are today. If you truly want to be real with God, you got to possess this kind of thinking. You got to possess an outward thinking. No longer me, but Thee. Not my will be done, but Yours, Lord. Let us have this one agenda and only agenda, to love people unconditionally. That's going to take strength. That's going to take understanding. That's going to take all of us together ministering to each other. That's going to take the fullness of Jesus Christ that is in us to come out of us. And believe me, He's in there and He wants to come out. All you need to do is let Him do that. You see, the question is, when we reach our destination, are we going to help others reach theirs too? Remember last week I said that part of this is helping someone else reach their vision. Are we going to help them to reach their destination? As for streams, we're going to do our best to do that. Our agenda is to build the kingdom of God through unconditional love. As God speaks to my spirit, He gives me revelation to my mind to motivate my flesh to do the will of God. The love of God will be shed abroad and people will be saved and God will do awesome things with us. Amen? Amen. Father, I thank You. I thank You for Your word. I thank You, God, that it is Your love that compels us to go on. It is Your love that has us confront. It is Your love, God, that we are so desperate in need to release to this dying world. Lord, today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that we seize the opportunity to love people, Your people, Lord, the world. You love the world. You gave Your only Son to save the world from itself, God. May we have a world vision of not only saving ourselves and our immediate family members, God, but to go into all the world. No matter what the cost is, God, we know that You have our front, our back, our sides, our top and our bottom covered in You, Lord. May we go forth in the light and in the power of Your Spirit, God, in Jesus' mighty name. And all God's people said, Amen.